listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Yes, it's that time of the week, and I offer greetings and salutations on this momentous Pro Bowl weekend. And just a quick programming note, that's the only time those two words will be uttered this evening. In the meantime, I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So go to geico.com for a free rate quote. This is the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas, and we've got a very special show planned for this evening. Mr. Steve Fezzik, he has the night off, a well-deserved night off, and although we will be sharing a Fez Best Bet Super Bowl prop later in the show, tonight we're going to be focusing on a deep dive update on the state of legalized sports betting across the country, and I'm also going to share my thoughts on a meeting I had with a gentleman this past Tuesday. I'm betting you've heard of him, pun intended. His name is Pete Rose, and I've got some thoughts on, well, that might characterize some very strong opinions. And let's not bury the lead, because tonight in studio, we've got a special guest for the entire hour. He's been with us before, a former writer for the Las Vegas Sun and noted author of the Bryce Harper book and creator of the book we'll talk about tonight, Sports Betting for Winners. Of course, I'm talking about Rob Misch. And man, have we got stories for you tonight. As they say in Proctor, Minnesota, it's going to be lit. This is Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. So let's get this party started. By the way, Rob, you're also very active with a very popular local publication here in Las Vegas called Gaming Today. And you've got a weekly column for the Chicago Sun-Times.
Well, it's not a weekly column. It's more of a periodic thing where I'm doing a pretty big Super Bowl sports betting package for them. It's going to be in the paper next Saturday, the day before the game. So that's, I've been working on that for 3-4 weeks, and that's really going to stand out. It's a lot of good stuff in there. Also, for Gaming Today, I was fortunate to sign on with them at the start of this college hoop season. I do a weekly college basketball column called The Gym Rat. Mm-hmm. And the Rat has had a real good run lately, Bernie. 5-0. I capped off a 5-0 week today. I'm 13-2 my last 3 weeks. But easy come, easy go. I'm not spouting off too much because I know the other side is waiting just right around the corner. But I've been really fortunate.
Nice Bobby Sherman reference here with the easy come, easy go. All right, but I digress. All right, so by the way, Rob, you had a good idea. We're going to get into your book a little bit later in the show, Sports Betting for Winners. Of course, I got a copy, and you were nice enough to send a copy for Steve Fezzik. I'll give it to him next week. This book is going to take you behind the curtain in the last 50 years. Is it about 50 years? I bet you go back, I mean, 60s, right?
You know, I go back to the late 50s with Lem Banker.
Okay, hold that thought.
Yep.
Because you came up with an idea, and I like the idea. For folks that would like to get a copy of this book mailed to them from the author himself, tell them what they got to do.
Well, my Twitter handle is at Rob Misch, at R-O-B-M-I-E-C-H. I have a trivia question. For the first person who answers this trivia question on Twitter, I'll get in touch with you, DM and whatnot, and I'll send you a signed copy of the book. And I will also, after that, pick one random correct guess. The trivia question, would you like to unveil it now,
Bernie? Do it.
Back in the day, and I'm referring to the period we just spoke about, what was the sports betting hub of this country?
You mean like city?
Yes. A lot of stuff sprouted from there. The lines sprouted from there. Publications came from there. It was the de facto hub. And let's just say post-World War II, and I'm not giving you any more hints.
All right. Give the Twitter handle one more time.
It's at R-O-B-M-I-E-C-H on Twitter. Pop in with your answers. First one to get it right, I'm going to hook up with you and send it to you. And after that, I'll pick a random one. I have a number in mind, and I'll be sending out two signed copies.
All right, sounds good. Rob, it was an interesting week this week in light of Hall of Fame, what I would call Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball Hall of Fame inductee Wednesday, and the advent of legalized sports betting, which Major League Baseball, I believe, is poised to benefit from. I thought it was appropriate to visit briefly the Pete Rose saga. And I met with Pete. I had a very nice talk with him Tuesday. And I think he's resigned himself to the fact after 30 years that it's probably not in the cards. But I am of the opinion that it no longer serves any fruitful purpose for Pete Rose and his banishment from Major League Baseball to continue on in perpetuity. Mm-hmm. Believe me, I'm well-versed in all the issues that surround this situation going back to August 24th, 1989, from Abar Giamatti to Faye Vincent to Bud Selig to Rob Manfred. And I think this is hypocrisy at its best. As I said, baseball is poised to benefit from legalized betting. And I actually think that if Pete were to be reinstated, now that doesn't mean you put him in the Hall of Fame yet. You create the situation where the Veterans Committee can then vote for Pete in the Hall of Fame. And it would open the door for Pete to work in Major League Baseball as an ambassador or work for various clubs or do what he does. Nobody loves the game more. Nobody talks the game any better. He's the hit king. I think baseball needs an ambassador. Now, you may think I'm nuts. Tweet at me. If you have a valid reason as to what, again, what fruitful purpose, what legitimate reason and how, who is benefiting from keeping Pete out of the game at this point after all these years, I'd like to hear it. Because without what I would consider to be a constructive reasoning having to do with this, then, listen, as Abraham Lincoln once said, let's let the better angels of our nature prevail.
Yeah, I think I totally agree with you. And as we spoke and getting ready for this show, I see Mr. Bonds and I see Mr. McGuire employed in a baseball capacity. And as Mr. Finley said a few minutes ago, I want to vomit. What they did is pretty egregious. And with what Pete Rose did or didn't do, it seems like there is a vendetta, Bernie, against him, being held against him. My corollary, which I think is pretty apt, would be when Mr. Krzyzewski battled so hard to get Jerry Tarkanian
Love it.
Into the Hall of Fame when he was alive, while he was alive. I contend that that does not happen unless it was Coach K pulling those strings. And nothing is more mysterious than the Basketball Hall of Fame. For him to get that passed through was extraordinary. And for Jerry Tarkanian to experience that in his lifetime was off the charts. And that is why I sure hope Peter Edward Rose, in his day, while he's alive, gets to experience the fruits of what he accomplished so well as a player.
April 14th, he turns 79. And if this were to happen, and I'm really hoping it does, mm-hmm. These are not empty words. I've given this some thought. I cut my radio teeth in Detroit debating this with Rob Parker back in 1995. Then again in 2002, 2003, and then Pete had the book in 2004, and it was a rougher debate then, but now the landscape's changed tremendously. And that, I believe, is a perfect segue into what we want to talk a lot about tonight, Rob, because since the Professional Amateur Sports Protection Act was overturned in May of 2018, there's been an incredible amount of progress across the country. We're fortunate, 360 stations across the country, a million people listen to this show. We've had inquiries from states where they think they have legalized betting. We've pointed out, no, you might have a casino.
Right.
You might be able to play bingo.
Yep.
You might be able to play blackjack, but you can't get down on a sports game, right? And Michigan, by the way, my home state, is the most recent state to legalize sports betting. On mm-hmm. December 11th, the final day of the year, the Michigan State Legislature, they passed a bill. Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed it into law. But there's still a ways from activating it, and they had hoped to have an app. They're not going to have the app till 2021.
They were hoping to get this up and running by March Madness.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen.
Doesn't look like it. Because well, there may be a couple of brick-and-mortar casinos
right.
that will be up. But as far as the app, like New Jersey. Yeah.
Right. The brick-and-mortar, and that's the difference, and that's kind of the fly in the ointment with all of this. It's just still, we've talked about it this before, and it is a broken record how every state is so different and different curveballs, and it's brick-and-mortar, and you can tell how advanced a state and its politicos are when mobile apps are in the offing. So that's where the future is. That's where Jersey's making all their money. New Jersey and Indiana, as we have discussed, is they're far ahead of the curve because it was officials from only those two states who have visited Vegas and gone behind the curtain to see how the sports books actually operate. And so the very best I can tell, that's an updated list too. Only New Jersey and Indiana still, Bernie. So what we have right now is 14 states that have sports betting. We have six states and D.C. that have passed bills. They have not implemented it yet. We have 24 states that have introduced bills. They have not yet passed. And then we have six states where, sorry, it's never going to come here. That includes Utah and Wisconsin. So that includes 50 states plus D.C. That's where we are to date. And I think the very next one after Michigan will be Colorado on or about May 1st.
I've got to really tip my cap to New Jersey. We talked a bit about this last week. Their handle for 2019 was right around $4.5 billion. To give that some perspective, in Nevada it was $5.3. Now, they're benefiting from the fact that New York has not got off the dime yet, and so people can cross over. However, you've got to give New Jersey a lot of credit because I understand about 82% of the action is from apps.
Absolutely. I mean, that's where everything is at. I'm old school brick and mortar. I want to make it difficult to make a bet. I want to have to go to the casino. I want to hold the piece of paper. But I'm not young, Bernie. And so the curve is all pointed toward mobile betting. You want to do it out of the ease of maybe your living room and watch the real-time offerings come by the screen. And as everything shows, you want to have the mobile app. Unfortunately, California, if and when they get going, maybe in 2021, they have 18 Native American tribes that are looking to get about 1 million signatures to put that on the ballot in the fall. If that all goes through, and in the best case scenario, they could have it by 2021, but that's going to be restricted to the brick and mortar tribal casinos. Again, no mobile apps. I had a buddy visit me a few days ago from Los Angeles, and he was bemoaning that California might have it soon, but it will only be brick and mortar, which is only going to keep him coming to Vegas. He was really looking forward to having the mobile app. Otherwise, why drive 60 miles when you can just drive another hour and a half and come to Vegas?
As we look ahead to 2020, which we are now in, and we're almost through the month of January, there are multiple states projected to try to get this done. You hear Kansas mentioned, Kentucky, Louisiana, Massachusetts. Which of those states, Missouri, is the closest, Rob, in your view? Look into your crystal ball a little bit and project which states might be the next we're going to be reading about in 2020.
Well, I think if you're living in Kentucky, you should be feeling pretty good about yourself right now. They are trying to work a bill through the House. A constitutional amendment will not be required. So they're hoping that it gets through to the state legislature and gets implemented in 2020. There's other little hangups in Connecticut, Massachusetts, maybe in 2020, but that's really wishful thinking. In Maine, the governor, Janet Mills, vetoed sports betting last year, but the state legislature is considering overriding that veto. In fact, last year, that happened 2 weeks ago, Bernie. So the state legislature in Maine is already on the ball trying to do what they need to do to override the great governor of that state. So Vermont is trying to pitch a mobile-only avenue. So there's a lot going on, and it's always interesting by the week. It's always new stuff happening.
As you look into 2021, there will be multiple states potentially coming online as well. I'm hearing Alabama, possibly Arizona. You did mention California. No. Connecticut, no? Is that fair?
Possibly 2021. They've got
Florida.
They've got some hoops and ladders. I don't really have Florida very well on my screen, but you know what's going on in Colorado is pretty exciting as far as May 1st. 28 casinos are going to have it. There's going to be 10 retail sports books, 13 online sports books. They got it all going. It's all going to be offered. That is going to be a model for the West.
You talk about hurdles. You're not kidding. Take the state of Texas. It's one of the few states where fantasy still isn't even legal. So
unreal.
I don't think we'll ever have 50 states, but when you consider where this has gone since May of 2018, there's frankly been incredible movement.
It's exciting, sure. And when you talk about Texas, they've talked about it. So at least that's a step in the right direction. They have talked about it. Unfortunately, in some of those discussions, there has been a idea of a 7.5% tax at the window on every bettor making a bet. So they have a lot to learn. But as far as news, there's something exciting that happened in Indiana last week, just a couple days ago, Wednesday. Their gaming commission approved betting on the Academy Awards.
Now, that's interesting. I don't think you'll see that in Vegas anytime soon.
No, no. But if that's happening somewhere, it's going to happen elsewhere. And there's something that R.J. Bell has talked about that is probably most fascinating of everything we're talking about. He has always contended that voting on elections would be through the roof.
Well, it would be. It is in London.
And so, right. And so if we're talking about Academy Awards, well, now you've broken down that fifth wall or whatever you want to call it, and elections would happen.
And we've already seen
right
offshore betting on elections and
absolutely.
Such.
Absolutely.
He's Rob Mish. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're talking legalized betting. We're going to get to his book, Sports Betting for Winners. Toward the end of the show, we'll get some quick thoughts teasing the Super Bowl next week, and oh yeah, we'll give you Fez's best bet, prop bet. You want to get on it before it moves much further. We'll have that at the end of the show. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Outta Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I'm Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. And tonight's Play of the Day is brought to you by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Well, sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and auto insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com, it's easy.
Davis to LeBron. LeBron head down, driving to the rim, powers up, and lays it in, and there it is. LeBron James moves to number 3 on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Only Karl Malone and the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar have ever scored more points in this game than LeBron.
Special guest in studio tonight, Rob Mish, author of the book Sports Betting for Winners. And Rob, let's dive right into it. Of course, I've read the book. I've known you for years. I've been coming to Vegas for years, and I think the first question for me is, what was your motivation in wanting to write this book?
Well, first of all, that bumper music just typifies Vegas, right? If you're going to get into sports betting, that is the song, because it's going to go up and it's going to go down, and you better keep your wits, you better stay on an even keel. That has been the most amazing thing that I kind of pluck from the book as far as my own learning experience was. Man, you don't weigh in what you did today or this week. It's a month or it's a 6 months. It's a 12-month jaunt. You better look at the horizon. You better look at the long game and keep an even keel, never high, never low. And that song was just perfect, Bernie. I'm very fortunate that some people know some other people, and that book came to me in the summer of 2018. I made a great new agent out of the deal. He knew a publisher in New York who wanted to capitalize on this wave of legalized sports betting spreading throughout the country.
And by the way, let's let the folks know, you were on last May. You're no stranger to book writing. You spent a year with Bryce Harper when he was 17 years old and wrote the definitive book about Bryce Harper. So you know a thing or two about writing books.
Well, and I was very lucky, and I'm glad you point that out, Bernie. I got 3 books under my belt, and when this one came my way, I signed the contract on September 1st, 2018. At that point, I had 3 books under my belt, and so I had a good idea of a template, how to proceed, what needs to be done, all the hoops and ladders and potholes. But I had also lived here for about 17 years at that point.
And that is key.
Yes. And so I knew people. I knew I could jump into it without exactly knowing who the roster would be. Excuse me. I knew enough people in town who I figured they would lead to other people. And so that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get to the underbelly of the city and tell the real stories, the real tales.
And you have to live here. And I'll tell you why. Because people have opinions about Vegas. It's an international destination. I had been coming to Vegas for a long time, many times before moving here. Then I moved here 10 years ago. And as you'd agree, it's a lot different living in a place versus visiting a place.
Absolutely.
And now that I live here, what you do is take people behind the curtain. You have to live here to know what you write about in this book. Drop a good nugget.
Well, Jay Cornegay brought me behind the Westgate curtains, mm-hmm. and it was just an amazing experience. I had been trying to speak with him for a few weeks. He finally gave me the nod during a very busy college football Saturday, and this would be during October 2018. And what I witnessed and just the games, the shifts, the waves of we're winning that one, we're losing that one. He has 12 screens in his office. And at one point, I said, okay, how you doing in these games? And he pointed at each one of them and said, we're winning that one, losing, winning. And then he pointed to Colorado State in the bottom right corner, and he goes, that one's personal, because he went to Colorado State.
Right.
And so he was able to rattle it all off. And so I did a whole chapter devoted to Jay because he's just a fantastic
great guy.
Person.
Love Jay. And, of course, just so the folks know, Jay, he presides over the Las Vegas Super mm-hmm. Contest, the Hilton, now Westgate Super Contest. Our own Steve Hezik has won it twice. If you watch this other show on the Eastern Seaboard Network called SportsCenter, they're always referring to the Westgate Lions. Jay Cornegay, the gentleman you're talking about, he presides over all of that in what is legitimately the Superbook.
And it's such a big operation, and he's got so many people and so many things to look after, yet he is the absolute nicest guy. You can be, if you're visiting Vegas next week and you're in a long line at the Westgate, chances are Jay is going to be coming out from the other side of the counter, and he's going to introduce himself and say hello and talk about the game. What do you think about it? Talk about the number swings. And just to see behind the scenes on how the operation works, he pinpointed that day I was in there, a Stanford-Oregon game. I'm not going to spoil what happened, but it was just fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things I want you to do tonight, and unfortunately, I know you and I've read the book and I live here, so I know a lot of the stories, but I think what I'd like to have you do is pick out a couple that you could only know if you live here, and you could only know if you understand the history. And some of the legendary names, people may have read about them in USA Today. People may have heard about them on TV. Maybe there's lore. And I'm not just talking about Jimmy the Greek. We're talking about famous guys like Lem Banker, Roxy Roxborough. Rob, serve it up. We'll have you tell some of the stories that you could only hear if you live here, if you could only know about if you read the book. But first, let's go to the man. Well, he's so cool, he's already won a Lifetime Achievement Award twice. It's Brian Finley with the latest.
It's because of the socks and sandals, Bernie, of course.
Bingo.
Yeah. LeBron James ascending into third all-time on the NBA scoring list, leapfrogging Kobe Bryant after the Lakers face-planted to the 76ers 108-91 on Saturday. Afterwards, James fawning over breaking the record of his childhood idol, Kobe.
Now I'm here in the Lakers uniform in Philadelphia, where he's from, where I one of the first time I ever met him, gave me his shoes. He won All-Star Week. It's surreal.
Following the game, Bryant also tweeted, quote, continuing to move the game forward at King James. Of course, LeBron James's Twitter handle. Much respect, my brother. NBA all-time scoring list now. The number one is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Karl Malone is in second, and James is in third. The Thunder on Saturday vanished the Timberwolves 113-104. Dennis Schroeder, 26 points off the bench. OKC has a five-game winning streak. Kyrie Irving empowers the Nets with 45 as Brooklyn beats the Pistons 121-111 in OT. The Bulls smear the Cavs 118-106. Zach LaVine providing 44 points. In college basketball, number two Gonzaga smoking Pacific 92-59. That is 13 straight wins for the Zags. Earlier in the day, top-ranked Baylor pacifies Florida 72-61. 16 consecutive Ws for the Bears. Fifth-ranked Florida State sneaking past Notre Dame 85-84. And Tiger Woods, five shots off the lead heading into the final round of the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines in San Diego, or technically La Jolla, California. John Rahm leading at 12 under. Back to Bernie Fratto and the Straight Out of Vegas crew in the Geico Fox Sports Studios.
Thank you very much, Brian. He's Rob Mish. I'm Bernie Fratto. By the way, what does it mean when Geico says just 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance? It means you probably should have gone to geico.com 15 minutes ago. Rob, you've got a ton of stories here. This is a book that is 262 pages long. We talked off air about the one nugget, about the one story almost nobody knows about, and you're going to share it.
From Kenny White, one of the pillars of the city. I'm really fortunate, Bernie, that I have in the book more than 600 combined years of experience in the trenches in Vegas, sports betting on both sides of the counter. A big MO I wanted to do is tell those tales, what people have done correctly, what to avoid in their own terms, what they saw, what they've heard, what they've lived and breathed in this town with sports betting. Kenny White is a veteran odds maker in town. He's the son of a gambler, and he told me he is such a rich encyclopedia.
Yeah, I've known Kenny for years.
He told me something that is stunning, Bernie. If you and me and someone else wanted to go and start a sports betting operation,
mm-hmm.
under federal laws, you, me, and someone else, the three of us, do you think we'd be able to do that?
It would be tough.
We would be able to on federal laws because, federally speaking, they are after the books who have four or more people working them. So that's what they constitute an illegal operation. If it's just you and me and we want to start something up and we want to keep records and pay our taxes, we can do it, federally speaking.
As long as they approve our rules, we've got to establish a set of rules, right? And it's not an overnight process.
Sure, but Kenny told me one of the stunning things in his life that he has ever discovered is meeting with federal officials
mm-hmm.
and learning that when an illegal bookmaking operation consists of four people or more, it is actually illegal, and those are the people they're after.
Oh, sure, the illegal aspect of it. I mean,
but it becomes illegal when it's four or more. That specific number.
That is okay. So that's a federal law, which is not something that I think is readily.
If it's two or three, and we are minding our P's and Q's and paying taxes, we can do it legally. Now there's state issues, but federally, we could get away with it. So I thought that nugget was just awesome from Kenny.
You know what I find fascinating? This book is very educational as well. You talk about some of the legendary handicappers like Lim Banker.
Yeah.
Of course, I want to put Dave Koken in that category as well. Dave's been in town here, 30, 40 years, has his own local show. These guys were doing power ratings long before computers.
And I'm glad you brought up those two guys because Dave was especially intrigued with Lem Banker because way back in the day, and this is in the book, Dave was fascinated how Lem kept his baseball power rankings, literally assigning a number to each player, and then he would figure out the starting lineups, and that's how he would handicap baseball. Lem Banker came here in 1957 from Brooklyn. His pop had a candy store in Brooklyn. Candy in the front, you can make the sports bets in the back. That's how Lem got into it, and he is just a trove of information. He told me that his father gave him the best advice that will stay with him until the day he dies. His pop said, "Don't bet what you'd like to win, bet what you can afford to lose." I think that is key for anybody getting into sports betting.
I'll tell you my favorite story in the book, and I'll tell you why. Having lived in Vegas and I've been betting since 1986, so it wasn't always legal.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have always found, and I know this may be counterintuitive to some people, that the bookmakers I've dealt with in my life are honorable, they're fun, they're nice, they're smart, they're upwardly mobile, in many cases, highly educated. And my favorite story in the book, it's simple. You talk about Lem Banker. It's my understanding he was working for a bookie by the name of Ruby Stein back in New York, and this goes back many, many years.
Absolutely.
And one particular transaction, Stein owed Banker $10,000, handed him an envelope, and when Banker got to his car, counted it, and there was $20,000 in the envelope.
Mm-hmm.
He turned right around, went back upstairs, and said, "Mr. Stein, you've overpaid me by $10,000," and that formed a bond that lasted a long time. But I have found that kind of honor actually to be quite prevalent when it comes to the world of sports betting.
Absolutely. And back in that day, Ruby Stein is someone who you wanted to be on his good side for sure. Too many people were on his bad side. And I agree with you. They are tough, and that toughness maybe doesn't come through, but they have an MO, Bernie. You know, they have an employer that they have to answer to. The house wins for a reason, because these people set great lines. They have great people working for them, and it works out in their advantage quite often because they know what they're doing. But they are very personable and engaging for the vast most part, and they are fun to be with. So if you can get into some of those circles, it is rich beyond words, isn't it?
And it's not lost on most folks that there are a lot of very prominent people who love to bet.
Yeah.
All right? Gentleman by the name of Brent Musburger. How many years, and Brent's a gentleman, how many years did he often reference his guys in the desert?
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was good friends with Jimmy the Greek. And I understand when Brent started coming to Las Vegas in the 60s, he was instantly fascinated with the whole subculture, the whole world of gambling, wanted to learn more about it, and became a fan of it. And the truth of the matter is, look, the hypocrisy, which goes back to my Pete Rose diatribe at the beginning of the show, is all the way back to the movie Casablanca with Claude Rains, when one of his croupiers, I'm appalled, there's gambling in our establishment, and the croupier hands Claude Rains, "You're winning, sir." I mean, it's one of the famous movie scenes. Folks bet. And that's why when it was legalized 2 years ago, or when PASPA was overturned, and you would have the same folks prior to that who would play bingo or buy lottery tickets or do Super Bowl squares or what, that thought sports betting was some sort of, you know, some sort of thing for criminals, I think the hypocrisy of that is really starting to become overturned.
It really is, and that's why it's so popular. That's why the leagues are taking to it. Hopefully they get this idea of integrity fees or whatever they want to call that out of their head, because all they have to do is visit Vegas. We can just always bring this circular back to Vegas. All you have to do is go behind the counter to know how well Vegas polices itself.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Point.
That's so true.
And so when you see states like California and New York, they're revolting against this mobile app. It's because they don't know what they're getting into. They haven't visited Vegas. They don't know what it entails. And frankly, I think, Bernie, they are a little suspicious about their own power being able to police themselves, because they don't know what they're getting into with this thing. All they have to do is visit here, and they're going to figure it out. It's going to be blatant.
You touched upon something that I think cannot be overemphasized enough, and that is the oversight and the seriousness and the nature with which Las Vegas has always taken these matters. And if they see odd action coming some way where there might be information or something along those lines having to do with some sort of impropriety, Vegas polices that better than anybody, and they're in position to report to the professional leagues and even in the NCAA ranks, right? There have been point-shaving scandals, mm-hmm. Boston College. Had Vegas been involved or had visibility, I suffice to say that those things might have been avoided.
Absolutely. Nobody connects the dots better than the guys behind the counter here in Vegas. And all these people have to do from other jurisdictions is visit, and they will learn how to connect those dots. And it isn't rocket science.
I would say this. I made my first bet in September of 86, and believe me, my first few months were rocky. I was on the wrong side of the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs, and I was on the wrong side of Dave Henderson hitting the home run off of Donnie Moore, but I digress. These are stories. I will tell you that I believe more people bet than you realize. As a matter of fact, there's an old joke. I'll just tell you, Rob, between us. Hopefully nobody else here. There's an old story about a young man who's being recruited to play linebacker at Notre Dame, and he takes an official visit, and it's game day, and he gets an opportunity to go in the locker room before the game. And one of the priests at Notre Dame leads the team in prayer. And then the team is all fired up and takes the field, and the young recruit looks at the priest and says, "Father, do you believe that really helps the Irish? Because I hope so. We're laying six today." He's Rob Mish. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're going to talk more about the book Sports Betting for Winners and some thoughts about why I think gambling has become so popular, sports betting has become so popular, and we're going to give our quick thoughts also about the Super Bowl, which is just 7 days away. I'm Bernie Fratto. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. This is the pregame show you always wanted, so don't go away. You're listening to Straight Outta Vegas.
Straight Outta Vegas!
We are back on Straight Out of Vegas, the pregame show you always wanted. I am Bernie Fratto, coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio Studios. And I want to remind you that Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by Discover. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn at the end of your first year automatically, with no limit to how much we'll match. Millions of people a year are getting their cash back matched. Discover cash back match. What are you waiting for? Learn more at discover.com/cashback match. Before I go any further, I want to thank my crew back in Los Angeles. Great job as always, guys. That would be Chris Perfett, Eric Roberts, and Brian Finley, turning all the dials, keeping us glued together. My guest tonight in studio, Rob Mish, author of the book Sports Betting for Winners. Rob, we were talking off air about two Las Vegas legends. Michael Gaughan, the son of Jackie Gaughan, prominent casino owners, currently own, I mean, South Point, one of my very favorite properties. Yeah. You hear them talked about all the time on national. But they have set a record that's just simply never going to be broken.
Well, Michael Gaughan and Jackie Gaughan, when he was alive, they set a father-son record that many in the town believe never will be busted, in that that father-son team owned 9 casinos at one point. So it appears that that will, I mean, good luck trying to break that. But when I got this contract for the book, my first call was to Lem Banker, and my second call was to people I know who know Michael Gaughan very well, and I knew I'd have to go right to him to get the heartbeat of sports betting.
He doesn't grant a lot of meetings.
He does not. He does not care for the media, and I respect him even more for that. And but I know some good mutual friends of his. I got an hour with him. Actually, I think he was only going to deign me maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and I went into that interview just thinking, okay, I'm gonna get so much stuff here. Until he gets ticked and kicked me out of this office, I'm going to keep going and try to get information from him. And we had a great hour. At some point, I could tell he got tired of me, and he was about to call his people and have me thrown out on my neck. And at one point, I asked him, what one thing should I take from you? What do people need to know from you? And he leaned over his desk, and he looked at me, and he points at me, and he goes, Rob, America loves underdogs, but America bets favorites. And he pointed at me and said, you can put that in your book. Now, if you're starting a casino, that's a good little rule of thumb to know. It's a little something that kind of keeps the house going.
Well, we've known that forever. The public has a tendency to bet favorites and overs, right? So it's natural. And we do a thing with Arnie Spanier every week at 10:20. Arnie's really a student of the game. He's a lot of fun. He probably underrates his own knowledge of the sports betting world, but he's a fan of it. And Arnie, to me, fits the perfect sports bettor, mm-hmm. right? Smart, upwardly mobile, successful. When you bet a game, it not only enhances the viewing participation of the game, it feeds the competitive spirit, the competitive edge that most even amateur bettors like to have in their life, right? This is America. Everything is essentially a competition.
Right.
This is sort of that as well. You're competing against the book. You're competing against yourself. Sometimes you're competing against extra people. And the truth of the matter is, a great vast majority of people who bet, Rob, they frankly get high making the bet, not necessarily winning the bet.
And
talk about the psychology in your research, and maybe anywhere in the book you may have touched upon.
Absolutely. That. I mean, there's a real danger, you know, in this endeavor. Hopefully it's fun and entertainment, and you're dealing with money that isn't going to take part of your gas money or grocery money. It's disposable.
That's right.
And
that's
it's
right.
Entertainment, and it's fun. That's the vast majority of us, hopefully, what you're doing, and it's not going to hurt you, and you're not going to lose sleep over it. I can give you a great example. I was hoping to talk to someone for this book who is a professional, who is his nose is in it, and we're talking about live in-game stuff where the numbers are turning and his nose is in the computer and he's watching those numbers turn and he's always looking to get the best of it. Through my two friends who know this person very well, I tried to get him on the record. I tried to get into his place. I tried to figure out how he operates, and it never could happen. It never went down. And finally, one of my friends just said, you know, that's one of the issues of sports betting. This can be an extremely antisocial thing.
Yep.
And that was Exhibit A, because he never comes out of his room.
Rob, we could spend 3 hours tonight, and we're going to have you on multiple times throughout the year when we have updates in Nationwide Sports Gambling. But by the way, speaking of betting, a week from now, 5 billion people, or there'll be 5 billion bet nationwide, about 150 million right here in Las Vegas. Who do you like next week in the Super Bowl?
I'm going to let the tourists come in the next few days and pump up the over, and I'm going to go under with San Francisco. And then I took 3 points today for the margin of victory at plus 425.
I love that. That's a great call. So basically what you're saying is the Niners laying three.
I've got the final margin of the game will be 3 points.
It'll be decided by a field goal. Sorry, gotcha.
Yeah.
Another good prop. I like San Francisco as well. I think they got a superior defense, a powerful running game, Super Bowl favorites of five or less, and the last 13, 3-10, that means doom for Kansas City. We're going to talk about this big time next week a lot, so you come back with us. That's going to do it for this week's edition for Straight Outta Vegas. Thanks, Rob. I'm Bernie Fratto. Next up, the man from Nashville. He brings it strong. It is time for the Jason Martin Show. Keep it locked.
Straight out of Vegas!